I want to take a fairly familiar passage of Scripture and try to break this down a little bit. Seems to be that's one of my strong points. What I really want to talk about today is the power of your words. Now, before I go any further with that, let me say that there is no word that is more powerful than the Word of God. I think that the Word of God is the single most powerful force and influence in my life. It has changed me, it has reshaped me, and it is continuing to do those things every single day. And I hope you feel that way about God's Word as well. God's Word has power. Amen? In fact, He spoke the universe into existence. And so we see that there is power behind God's Word. But with that said, let me tell you that there is power behind your words as well. Now, don't get me wrong. I certainly do not want to be put in the category of those who would be called name it and claim it. I do not believe that your word is so powerful that it trumps the will of God. But I do want to say that your word and my word spoken does have power. You see, words are one of those funny things in Scripture that are set apart, that are given uniquely to the human race. There are no race of animals that use words. Animals can use sounds, but they don't have words. And so it would seem fit that because we are unique in that way, that God would give us a book that contains words to communicate with us. But I want to tell you this morning that your word has power. Your spoken word has power. And I think sometimes we don't realize the power that it actually has. Because I think sometimes that we use our words flippantly. Whether it be in anger or whether it be in excitement or whether it be in frustration, whatever it is, sometimes things just come out of our mouth. And you know what? When they come out of your mouth, you can't ever put them back. When I was a youth pastor many, many, many years ago, I had kids in our youth group do an illustration. We played a game. And the game was that everybody got a tube of toothpaste. And we had a race. Who could get all of the toothpaste out of the tube in the shortest amount of time? And if you did, you won a prize. And so we said, go. And all the kids grabbed their tube and they squeezed and all the toothpaste came out and we declared a winner. Then I said, now for the second part of the game. Who can get all of that toothpaste back in the tube the fastest? And they looked at me with blank stares like, are you serious? And in fact, I was serious. And so some of them literally tried to take all of that toothpaste and cram it back in the tube. Not to mention unsuccessfully. But the point of the whole lesson was, once it comes out, you cannot put it back. You can deal with the consequences of it. You can say you're sorry. You can apologize. You can make amends. But you can never take back what you said. There's no delete button. Amen? And I want us to understand that. As we talk about the truth this morning, that our words have power. What does Jesus Christ even say? Jesus Christ declares to us that words transcends this temporary world that we live in into the eternal. When He says, these words that I speak unto you, they are truth and spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, words are not just vibrations of sound. Words are not just vocal cords making noises. Words are not just air hitting our eardrum. Words go much, much deeper into the eternal things of life. I want us to understand that before we even dare to take a step and look at the power that they hold, we need to understand that words have power. When we speak, when we say something, they are transcending the temporary into the eternal. Kind of changes some of the things maybe you would have said to your spouse. Kind of changes some of the things maybe you've said to your children. Amen? It's kind of like in a marriage when you have an agreement, we'll never say the D word. Never say the D word. Why is that such a big thing? Never to say the D word. You know why? Because people are aware that when you say something, it has meaning and power behind it. And once you say the D word in your relationship, you have already opened the door to that possibility. And so people say, because my words have power, because words have power, we will never say that word in our relationship. Because we know that there is more to it than just sound. Now think about that as we move into this, because I want you to see that Scripture over and over and over again not only tells us that God's Word has power, but that your Word and my words have power. And I want to look at just what that power is and what that power is capable of this morning. Are you with me? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before You asking You to help us to realize the power of our words. We are not here today declaring, Father, that our words are more powerful than Your will. We know that that is not true. But Father God, on the same hand, we know that our words do have power and do have effect. They are not just sound. God, they transcend from the temporary into the eternal on a grand scale. Father God, I pray that You would help us through Your Word recognize what that power is today. We ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look at four passages of Scripture as we start off this morning, because you may not believe me yet. So I don't want you to believe me. I want you to believe God's Word. Amen. So look with me at Psalm, and we're going to flip through several passages of Scripture as we begin this morning. It says in Psalm 64 and verse number 3, look at it with me. It says, "Who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words." Who's he talking about? Well, look at verse number 2. "Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity." What do? They wet their tongue like a sword. You say, what does it mean to wet your tongue like a sword? Well, I can tell you what it means to wet a sword. Basically, what it means to wet a sword is to sharpen it. If somebody is wetting their sword, it means they are taking a stone and they are sharpening that edge over and over and over again. They are wetting their sword. You with me so far? And the Bible says that the wicked use their words, not just use their words flippantly, but use their words skillfully, because even the wicked know that words have power. Amen. Folks, you know that there are some people out there that sharpen their skill of using words. And not only do the righteous do it, but the wicked do it as well. It says they sit around and they sharpen that tool. And they bend their bow with arrows. And what does it say? Even bitter words. Where does all of that hatred, where does all of that come from? Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden within you wells up this anger and something comes out of your mouth and you have no idea where that came from? It came from the bitterness that has taken root in your heart. And you are not aligning yourself with the righteous, you're aligning yourself with the wicked. You are wetting your sword. You are sharpening your skill. For what? To hurt people. With the arrows of words and by sticking them with a sharpened sword. Folks, we can do a lot of damage with our words. Let me show you the next passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 18. As I said, we're going to start off looking at some of these Proverbs. And of course, the Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And it says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 18, it gives us some of that wisdom when it says, "There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." I want to show you the contrast here. Number one, the contrast is that the psalmist Solomon says, listen, we can use our tongues to hurt people, to stick people. We can use it to stab them and to wound them. We can use it to destroy them and kill them. Or, used properly, we can use our words and it will be health to people. It will be healing to them. I think that's probably why the Apostle Paul says, do not speak anything unless it be for the use of edifying. Unless it can build somebody up, just shut your mouth if it can't be that way. And I want you to see in Proverbs 17, Proverbs 17, 20. He says, "He that hath a froward heart findeth no good." Now I want you to notice, what is the problem here? The problem is one of the heart. And we'll talk about that later. But look at what he says next. He says, "And he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief." What does it mean? That not only can our tongues, not only can our word hurt other people and injure them and wound them, our tongue and our word can do what? It can injure us as well. It can cause us to fall into mischief. It can cause us to fall into trouble. I want you to look at the last proverb that we have here this morning. Proverbs chapter 18, and look at verse number 21. More wisdom about the tongue. More wisdom about words. It says in verse 21, and you should underline this. This is a key passage of Scripture for what we'll be talking about this morning. He says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do not tell me that your words don't have power. Do not tell me that your words do not have meaning. Don't tell me that your words don't have an effect on the people around you and you yourself." Because Solomon, the wisest man who ever was beside Christ, says death and life are in the power of this little tiny member of our bodies. Let that sink in this morning. The power of death and the power of life reside right here. Please remember that the next time you're tempted to say something flippantly. Please remember Proverbs 18:21 the next time you get frustrated with your children. You get frustrated with your spouse. You get frustrated with your friend. You get frustrated with your pastor. Please remember that your tongue has the ability to kill or the ability to give life. Amen. You want to know something? Very few things in Scripture are given that distinction. Very few. But the tongue is. Proverbs says the tongue has the power to kill or the power to give life. The question that we have to ask ourselves this morning is, what are we using it for? Are we using it to destroy other people? Are we using it to give them life? Are we using it to build other people up? Or are we using it to tear them down? Folks, my whole point in looking at these Proverbs this morning was to show you one thing. That the idea of words having power is not a philosophy of Pastor Brandon. The idea of words having power and great effect in your life and the lives of other people around you is one that is derived from Scripture. Amen. Now, what power does it yield? We know that it is powerful, but specifically, what power does it yield? Look at James chapter 3 with me. This is where we're going to be for the majority of the time this morning. And I'm sure that many of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture in James having to do with the tongue. I want to read James chapter 3 verses 1 through 12. And then what I want to do is go back and show you that what James is trying to tell us this morning is to pinpoint exactly the kind of power that resides behind those ivory bars. He says in James chapter 3 and verse number 1, he says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Basically, what he's saying is, boy, you know, the more responsibility you have, the more accountability you have. Meaning that sometimes we think that being a master or a teacher or a boss is all fun and games, but it's not. There can be a great burden to that responsibility. But I also want you to notice in verse number 2, he tells us that there is an indicator of the spirituality that resides within each of us. And look at what that indicator is. He says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Are you with me? He says, look, if you find a man that can control his tongue, you found a man that has finished his course. You found a man that has arrived to the peak of spirituality. You with me? To the peak of our relationship with Jesus Christ. If you find a man who can control his tongue. But he says, the dirty little secret is that we all fall short with our words. So lest any of us in here think today, well, maybe he's talking about me. I feel that I have arrived. James says, no. In many things concerning words, we offend all. And so he goes on from this point to begin to define the power that resides in our words. And I want to show you that this morning. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3 says this, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." Look at verse 5. "Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Verse 6. "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the tree, fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." And whether we realize it or not, James has laid out for us in a very detailed way the power of our words. He has laid out for us step by step exactly how we can use our words to either lead us into destruction or lead us into life. How we can use our words to lead other people into destruction or lead them into life. And I want to break that down for you in the moments that we have together this morning. First of all, I want you to see that the tongue is small, as he says in James 3. Amen?
Amen?
It is a very small thing. But what does he say? It is very, very powerful.
Yeah.
Amen? It is very, very powerful. I want you to see this in James chapter 3 and look at verse number 5. He says, verse number 3, he says, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. In verse 4, behold also ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. I want to give you an illustration of this morning. Are you with me so far? The largest ship on the face of the planet today is the Maersk Triple E. That's what's seen in the photo up on the screen. It's a container ship that often runs from Asia to the United States, bringing goods back and forth and raw material from the United States to China and their goods back to the United States. And it runs constantly year round. And it is the largest ship on the face of the planet. It is over 1,300 feet long. It has a weight of 55,000 tons. And do you know that that ship, not only does it weigh 55,000 tons, but you can take 165 tons and put it on that ship and sail across the ocean. That's a big ship. That's a lot of weight. But you know what I found was most interesting about that? The rudder of that ship weighs just 25 tons. You say, well, that's heavy. Not in comparison to the ship itself. The weight of the ship alone, if you just take the rudder, is 0.5% of the entire weight of the ship. Not to mention the fact that if you were to add on top of that 165,000 tons of cargo, now you're talking a fraction of a percent. But the whole ship is controlled by what? That rudder. You with me? What is James trying to say? He's trying to say that something that can be so small and so insignificant to the rest of the vessel can determine its course of action. Right? Now I want you to see this because I really, really need you to understand what James is trying to tell us here this morning. First of all, I want you to see in verses 3 and 5, he says in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I want you to notice in Scripture what James says, first of all, is that the tongue is responsible for your direction. You say, where do you get that? Well, look at what he says. He said, behold, in verse 3, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Do you know what a bit is? A bit is a small piece of metal that is placed in the mouth over the tongue of a horse. And by that small piece of metal, think about how big a horse is, and by that little tiny piece of metal, you can tell that horse to go forward, and how fast to go forward. You can tell that horse to go backward, and how fast to go backward. You can even tell that horse to turn to the left or turn to the right. You with me? You see, what James is saying is, first of all, just as the bit is in the horse's mouth, your tongue and your words will control the direction of your life.
Amen.
Listen, your words will control if you're going forward in your walk with Christ, or your words will determine whether you're going backward in your walk with Christ. And not only which direction, but how fast you're going. If you are constantly talking about the past, guess what? That's where you're going to go. Amen. If you are constantly talking about the past, you are going to go backward. Because your tongue, just like the bit in the horse's mouth, is saying, all right, let's turn around and back it up. And let's go 30 years in the past. Maybe you're talking about your past victories. Maybe you're talking about your past defeats. Maybe you're talking about your past failures. Maybe you're talking about your past struggles. Listen, I don't have time in my day to worry about what happened in my life last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I need to move forward. So guess what? I'm talking about forward. I'm talking about the future. I'm talking about the vision that God has for me. Not about what I did 20 years ago. Not about what somebody did to me 20 years ago. Because I'm not going to be controlled to degress in my life to the past. Hey, I'll tell you something. Not only will it control whether we go left or right, you know what? The Bible says we need to stay focused on Christ. Forgetting those things which are behind and what? Looking forward unto Christ. And guess what? There's a lot of distractions in the world. Amen? I mean, no disrespect to any of you who have this hobby, but guess what? Politics can be a distraction. Politics can be a distraction. Politics can be a way that you are being pulled to the right or to the left. If that's what you're always talking about, guess what? That's a distraction. That's where you'll go. That's why God wants us to be always praising Him, talking about Him, witnessing of Him. Because He knows that if His Word is on our lips, that's where we'll go. That's where we will head. We're not going to head backward. We're not going to head to the left. We're not going to head to the right. We're going to head right toward Christ as long as He and His Word are on our lips.
Amen.
It has the ability to control our direction. Listen, if you're around people that are constantly talking about the past, they either need to stop doing that or you need to get away from them. Because all they're going to do is drag you back with them. That's right. I recently got together with some friends of mine from high school. And for a little while, you know, it's tempting to sit around the table and talk about the past. You know what? I could feel it. I could feel it happening right there at the table. We were talking about the past and I could feel I was getting dragged back to my past. Right? And you know what I did? I said, look, guys, I really appreciate the history that we have. Our friendship is built on the time that we have spent together and how long we have known each other. But I got to tell you something. I don't want to sit around tonight and talk about the past. I want to talk about the future. And from that point, we talked about, what are our kids doing? Where are our kids going? What are we up to right now? Where are we headed in life? And the whole conversation changed. And I got to tell you, my spirit just felt a lot better. But I guarantee you, had I not said anything, we would have spent the whole night talking about the past. And you know what? I would have spent a month trying to recover mentally from that. Amen. Because here, hold my baggage. Oh, and here, hold mine too. Oh, and mine. Oh, and here's yours. Put yours on there as well. And before you know it, you're walking around like this trying to balance it all and trying to be a father and a pastor and a husband, and you fall down. Your tongue has the power to control your direction. And what is bent within us is to talk about the past. We don't need to go back to the past. Christ says, look forward. Amen? Amen? We don't need to go to the right and get distracted. We don't need to go to the left and get distracted. You know what we need to do? We need to look at Christ. Amen? Sports can be a distraction. Constantly talking about the latest football game, baseball game, this, that, and the other thing. That can be a distraction. Folks, anything that monopolizes your conversation can be a distraction to you and be used to pull you in a different direction. Amen. But not only does it have the power to control our direction, I want you to see this, that James says something very telling that we often don't look at. But he also says that it has the ability to control our navigation. That's completely different. You say, where in the world does it say that it controls our navigation? Well, look at right here. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven about of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. You know what a helm does? You know what a rudder of a ship does? It helps that ship navigate. You say, navigate through what? Storms? Ocean currents? Warm water? Cold water? Other ships? Hostile territories, whatever. It helps that ship navigate its course. Now we're talking about something completely different. Because you can point somebody in the right direction, but if they can't navigate, their ship will sink. Right? What James is saying is not only are you going to point the course, the direction of your life with your tongue, but you are going to navigate life with your tongue. And when the storms come up, guess what? If you're constantly talking about the storm, if you're constantly talking about how scared you are, how worried you are, how anxious you are, this, that, and the other thing, guess what? The storm will overtake you. That's not navigating through the storm. Your tongue, your words will help you navigate around the storms. Amen. You say, how does that work? I've told you this 1,000 times. When storms arise in my life, okay, here's what I say. And let me give you a little insight. Lest you're standing outside of my office one day and you hear me talking to myself. If you hear me talking to myself, guess what? You're hearing me talk to myself. Because I know that words have power. And I know that I don't just need to think something. I need to turn them into words. Because the Bible doesn't say it's thoughts that transcend into eternity. It says it's words that transcend into eternity. And I got to tell you, there's times when I'm sitting at my desk and I will be in the middle of a storm and I will stop and say, I have no problems. All of these are opportunities. You know what that does? That helps me navigate the storm. Amen? That helps me navigate the storm. When somebody gets mad at me and screams and yells at me like my wife did this morning, I'm just kidding, she didn't, right? Guess what? I know they're just having a bad day. I don't just think that, I say that. Why? Because those words are helping me navigate through that difficult time. When I'm short on supply and I'm wondering, God, you need to fill in here. God, I don't have the resources that I need to do the job that you've called me to do. Guess what I say at my desk? God, you're in control. These are your problems. I don't just think that. I verbalize that because there's power in words. And guess what? That helps me navigate life. Are you with me?
Yes.
It is not just about the direction. You can put a bit in a horse's mouth and tell it to go straight and tell it to go forward and tell it to go forward fast. But if you have a helm or a rudder on a ship, it's going to help you navigate the storms and the opportunities of life. Guess what you have to do when you're on the ocean? You have to take advantage of the opportunities that are given to you. If it's good weather, guess what? We better make some time today, because tomorrow we are not guaranteed that it's going to be free sailing, clear sailing, right? Your words will help you take advantage of those opportunities. Navigate the storms. Steer clear of hostile territories. Know what to do in warm water. Know what to do in cold water. Know what to do when you see other ships. Help you to port and complete your mission. That's all in that little tiny rudder. And the Bible says, not only will it give you direction, but it will give you navigation. It'll help you through life. Your words. Amen? Do you want to know why there's a dark cloud over some people? Have you ever known people who have just for whatever reason, there's a dark cloud over them? Some people say, oh, they must be cursed. Must be a family curse that hasn't been broken. Yeah, break out the voodoo dolls. It's not a family curse. Have you ever listened to them talk? It's like watching Winnie the Pooh with Eeyore. Right? Well, I suppose it's going to snow today. Well, I washed my car yesterday, so that means it's going to rain today. Well, I got a little extra money now. That means something's going to break. No wonder you got a dark cloud over your head. Seriously. You know why you got a dark cloud over your head? Because your rudder is navigating you into the storm. Right? Folks, you know me. I'm all about positive speech, right? And being positive. Look, Sean has strict orders from me. He is not to say anything negative from that pulpit. Okay? If there's problems in the bathroom and the toilets are getting plugged up, he's not to say anything. I will deal with that individually, not from the pulpit. You know me. But there's a reason behind it. Because I know that the words of people in this church will steer this church. And if we're constantly talking about our problems, guess what? There's going to be a dark cloud over this church, and I don't want it there. Amen. And being positive doesn't mean ignoring problems. I deal with problems every single day. We had the furnace break. Do you realize they quoted us $3,100 to fix that furnace? Do you realize when he gave me that quote, you know what I said? I said, I'm going to get it cheaper than that. He was taken aback. He was like, oh, okay. He thought I meant I was going to go get another bid, you know? And I said, no, I'm going to call Lennox and they will get us the parts cheaper than that. Spoken words, not just thoughts. Right? And so when I got on the phone with Lennox, I said, listen, I said, we've got a heat exchanger that went bad in a 5-year-old furnace. And I said, I just want you to know I am expecting some kind of deal on a heat exchanger. You know what I did? I took my helm and I pointed it in the direction of a good deal. Right? What happened? What if I would have got on there and said, well, they're never going to give us the parts. They'll never give us a deal. You know, well, then I'm pointing over here. Okay? But I'm pointing here. And I want a good deal. And I said, just so you know, spoken word, I'm going to get a good deal on this. And you know what she said? She said, well, let me connect you to this person. They connected me. Aunt picked up the phone. Okay, I just want you to know, I'm after a good deal on this. Because I said, it's a 5-year-old. Oh, sir, well, I don't know what you can do. Hey, hey, whoa, the storm is getting a little rocky. We still got to keep it pointed over here though, right? Connected me to the fifth person. I said, I got a 5-year-old furnace that has a heat exchanger bad in it. And I said, you know that's not right. I know that's not right. And I said, I'm expecting a good deal on that heat exchanger. And you know what she said? She said, well, sir, you're absolutely right. You know what I think we can do for you? She said, I think we can ship you a heat exchanger at no cost. And I said, now we're talking. Right? Like, here we go. $2,000 heat exchanger shipped to this church absolutely free. I guarantee you, and a lot of prayer went into it. Hey, I get that's all part of it, all right? But what's also part of it is the attitude of the words that I put out. And if I would have said, no way, you know, Lennox is going to do that, then guess what? They're not going to do it. And if I would have got on the phone with that attitude, they would have sensed it, they would have smelled it, and they would have said, ah, we're not getting it. This guy, he's not expecting it anyway. But I got on the phone, and they knew, oh, this guy's actually expecting something to happen. Yeah, I am. Amen. Okay? You point your ship in the right direction. But not only do you have to point it in the right direction and get the speed down, you have to navigate it when things come up. And the Bible says your tongue gives you direction and navigation. You with me? So the next time you're tempted to navigate into the storm, and for some reason our human nature just loves storms, navigate around it. Right? Somebody does something that offends you, don't immediately say, well, they did it because they hate me, so I'm going to hate them. Right? No. What are you doing? You are navigating into the storm. You know what you do? They're probably having a bad day. I don't think they meant it that way. I really don't think they meant it that way. Say it. Speak it. When somebody comes up to you and says, well, did you see what so-and-so did to you? Yeah, but I know they didn't do that. You know what that is? That's words that are being put into eternity that are directing and helping you navigate around the storms instead of into controversy and conflict, around controversy and conflict. Folks, we're Christians. We're supposed to have peace to some degree. Right? You know what I came to the realization of a long time ago? I didn't have peace anywhere in my life. And I was supposed to have peace. You know what, by and large, it was? Due to the things I was saying. Amen. Direction and navigation. You with me so far?
Yes.
Okay. Now I want to show you the next. The tongue is small, but it's powerful. But I also want you to see that James is telling us this morning that the tongue is small, but it's also very destructive. Look at verse number 6. He says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. You know what course of nature is? Course of nature, if you do a biblical verse by verse, phrase by phrase comparison, you'll find out that the course of nature is your life. From birth to death, that is the course of nature. You with me? And look at what he says about that. He says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. It can destroy your life. You ever seen what a fire can do? I've seen what a fire can do. You ever seen how fast a fire can do it? I've seen how fast a fire can do it. When we were kids, we had this arch enemy that lived behind my friend's house. And he was a kid that always wore camouflage. No offense to anybody who wears camouflage, but this kid just particularly happened to always wear camouflage. And so he was always creeping and sneaking around, and we just didn't like him. So one day we ran him off my friend's property, off his backyard. And while he was running for his life, his hat flew off, his camo hat, and landed on the ground right before us. So we grabbed that hat and we claimed it as a victory. For us, it was like a victory. Yeah, like we had conquered him, right? Like taking somebody's flag. What do we do with this hat? Let's burn it. Because that makes sense, right? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And so we took it on the side of my friend's garage. And we put it on the ground and we poured gas on gas and gas on it. We're going to burn it. We got him. And my friend had one of those little Boy Scout things that you strike the match and it makes a flint. I felt the reverberations go through my hair. And we were dazed and confused for a while, wondering what had happened. We had lost memory of what had actually taken place. And, and as we came to, we saw the hat burning and the grass burning and the bushes burning and the side of the house burning and the garage was on fire. And you say, what did you do? It wasn't my house. I ran. I ran all the way back home, and from across the street, I was looking out our living room window, watching fire truck after fire truck after fire truck and police car fill the whole block to save my friend's house. And he got in trouble, you know. And of course, no loyalty when you're getting in trouble. So he rats me out that I was there. And so I get in trouble, you know. I mean, come on. It's funny that one of the friends who I recently had dinner with was that friend. We just laughed so hard that we were talking about that. But I remember thinking, all of that, literally, from a spark that was probably about the size of a head of a pin, destroyed. You with me? Man, it's fast. I mean, in seconds, the side of his garage was in flames. You know that James says that's what our tongue is. More flammable than gas. Feeding fuel more than oxygen and wood. Our tongue has the ability to destroy ourselves and other people. Let me say, a flippant statement can cause someone a lot of pain. Amen. Amen. A flippant statement, unintentional or intentionally said, it doesn't matter, can hurt people, can hurt children, can hurt wives and husbands, can hurt pastors' wives, can hurt pastors. I've known many children who are in the ministry and they've gotten bitter. And when I talk to them, you can bring it back to a singular time when somebody said something And they just weren't ever able to recover from that. Why? You say, how in the world can that happen? Because words have power.
Amen.
Words have the power to give death or to give life.
Amen.
Right? Folks, you may make flippant statements, but we're warned about its destruction and consequences in Scripture. Right? Let me share this with you. I want to move through this morning. It starts with a little fire, maybe even just a spark. It doesn't take a large statement. Maybe it doesn't even take a very detailed statement. Maybe the statement isn't even true, but just a small statement or a word said can begin to kindle that fire. Right? Can I have you look at Proverbs 16:28? Look at Proverbs 16:28. It says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Not just friends. Chief friends. See, they don't have best friends in the Bibles. There's no BFF. Okay? In the Bible, it's chief friends. And it says that a whisperer, spoken words, can separate the best of friends. Amen? Let me give you this poem. It says, I lost a little word only the other day. It was a very naughty word I had not meant to say. But then it was not really lost when from my lips it flew. My little brother picked it up and now he says it too. Fire spreads. That's the point. It doesn't stay on the hat. It doesn't stay on the grass. It doesn't stay in the bushes. It spreads to the front of the house and the garage and it'll keep spreading. Until it's all gone. And you know what it destroys? You know, we're all on different ships. Right? We're all on different ships. And our words do what? Well, they poke holes in our ships. Some of us are in relationships. Some of us have friendships. Some of us have fellowships. That's what this church is, right? A fellowship. Some of us have companionships. And guess what? Our words will poke little holes in those ships. And it won't stop until those ships are sunk. Amen. Folks, you want to know why people don't have friends? Because you got to show yourself friendly. And if you're constantly shooting at people, doing your little Minnesota passive-aggressive thing, all you're doing is poking holes in your ships. Soon, your relationship will sink. Your fellowship will sink. Your companionship will sink and your friendships will sink. And they'll be gone, sitting at the bottom of the ocean with nothing left. And only an oil slick of death and destruction in its wake. Why? From one thing, James says, your words have power. A great man, who I greatly admire, was Winston Churchill. But he did have one struggle, and probably many more. But one of his struggles most certainly was his tongue. Boy, he was quick-witted and sharp with his tongue. Lady Astor was having dinner with him at the table, and they did not get along, and she said, "Sir, if I were married to you, I would poison your drink." And he said, "Ma'am, if I were married to you, I would drink it." At the next event, Bessie Braddock, who was a member of Parliament, and boy, she was just a, well, I don't know, let's just say, not a very comely woman. They were sitting at the table having dinner together. And old Winston had a little too much to drink, if you know what I mean. And he said, or she said to him, "Sir Winston, you are drunk." And he said, "Madam, you are ugly." And he said, "Your problem is, tomorrow I will wake up and be sober. Tomorrow you will wake up and still be ugly." Needless to say, Winston did not have too many lady friends. He had a way of separating chiefest of friends with his words. And if you know anything about the biography and the life of Winston Churchill, you'll know that he had a bitterness that went back to his childhood that he spent his whole life unable to shake. And that bitterness often came out through his words. Is it that way with you? Let me give you the last. The tongue is also revealing. In James chapter 3, and look at verse number 9, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." You know what James says? It's small, but it's powerful. It's small, but boy, it's destructive. It's small, but it will reveal everything about you. Amen. Oh, you don't like that. Right? It will reveal everything about you. Folks, I have certain tools that I've learned as a pastor over the years. And you know what the greatest tool I have ever learned and honed and sharpened is? Not this. These two. All you have to do is listen. And people will tell you what you want to know, and they will tell you what you don't want to know. They will tell you what they want you to know, and they will even tell you what they don't want you to know. All you have to do is listen. You say, how can that be? Because James says, your tongue and your words reveal what's truly inside. And if it's always cursing and bitterness and negativity, guess what? It's cursing and negativity and bitterness that's in here. Amen. You can see it with your ears. You got that? You can see it with your ears. The greatest tool I've been given, two of them, my ears. Just stop and listen to people. And they will tell you what they're all about in 5 minutes or less if you just let them talk. You know what I've had to learn to do? Shut my mouth. Because not only do other people do that to me, sometimes I find myself doing that to them. Right? I'm revealing to them what's truly inside. But that's not all bad. Sometimes we need to have revealed to us what's really inside so we can see it. Sometimes we need to reveal it to other people so they can see it. And they can come alongside of us and put their arm around us and say, "You know, there's a chink in your armor. I just wanted to talk to you about something." Are we mature enough to handle that kind of conversation? We listen to ourselves and we listen to others. Amen? Amen? Listen, if I'm in conversation and I find myself constantly talking about the past, I need to realize, uh-oh, I haven't let go of something. Amen? Amen. If I'm constantly talking about something negative, uh-oh, looks like I've got some kind of bitterness in my heart. See, it reveals to me what I'm all about. so that I can go back and say, God, I need your help. Amen. God, I'm not doing this right. God, I need your strength. The tongue is tameable. It says in verse number 8, it says, but the tongue can no man tame. You say, well, it's not tameable then. Ah, no. James tells us the key to taming the tongue. Nobody can tame it. Only God. You know what it tells us in Luke chapter 18? It says, that which is impossible with man is what? Possible with God. There we go. So it says, no man can tame the tongue, but God can. God can. And how's he going to do that? Well, Matthew 15, 18 says, what proceeds out of the mouth comes from the heart. So let me tell you, in short, if you have toxicity spewing out of your mouth on a regular basis, it is not your mouth that's the problem. And it's not the ears of the other person either. Well, they just took it wrong. That's just what we passive-aggressive Minnesotans love to do. We love to stab somebody and then pat them on the back and say, well, they just took it wrong. Right? That's what we do. Welcome to Minnesota! Minnesota nice, while we stab you in the back. Right? And then say, oh, well, they just took it wrong. It's not the ears of the other person, it's not your mouth. It is a rotten heart. That's the problem. And you say, well, what do we do with that? Psalm 139. What does it say? Search me. Try me. And know my thoughts. Look at my heart, God. And see if there's any wicked way. Have you ever gotten on your knees and said, God, I am having so much trouble with my words. You with me? With my words. I know that's a heart problem. God, will you create a new heart within me? But you know, here's the key to that. You've got to recognize that first. You can't just get on your knees and say, well, God, I don't know. I mean, maybe I have a problem. I'm not sure. I don't see any evidence of it. I don't have any friends, but I don't see any evidence of it. Right? No, I mean, God has to reveal it to you, and you have to be willing to see it and say, my words are rotten to the core. Right? God, I recognize that. And I know that comes from some kind of bitterness, something in my heart. Lord, I need your help. Please help me to create a new heart within me. You with me this morning? God, help me. You got to recognize it. I'm going to give you a tool that will help you recognize it, and then we'll be done. You ready for this tool? Okay, this will help you, so write this down. Think before you talk. But it doesn't just mean that. Think before you talk. Now, this is a tool that will help you see if what's coming out of your mouth is rotten or good, if it's fleshly or spiritual, if it's eternal or temporal. Amen? Tonight we're going to talk about the difference between temporary truth and eternal truth. What I want you to do is to use this tool as a gauge of what comes out of your mouth. Okay? And this will help you see if it is spiritual or fleshly. You ready? Think. Real easy. What does the T stand for? Is it true? You have to answer yes to all of these questions before you should ever even say it. Before you should ever speak it. Remember, the spoken words have power. You with me? Is it true? Not do you think it's true. Not are you filling in the gaps to make it true. Is it true? God operates on truth. Anything else is not of God. Ready? Here's the second. Okay? Now, it has to pass this 100% or it doesn't get through. Is it helpful? Right? Is this going to edify the person or is this going to hurt their feelings? Is it going to tear them down? Is it going to help in some way? Is it inspiring? What I mean by that is it inspiring them to do better? Is it inspiring you to do better? Look at the end. Is it necessary? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Right? Is it necessary? You know what? Sometimes we can say stuff that's true, helpful, and inspiring, but it's not necessary. So what? Just let it go. Is it necessary? Well, it's true. Doesn't matter. It may not be necessary. Have you not ever heard of charity covers a multitude of sins? That's not saying, well, it's true, so that means I need to say it. Maybe we should say everything that's true about you. Shall we? Let's write down all the things that are true of each of us and just say them. Give me your notepad. We'll start with you. And the K, is it kind? If you can't say yes to every one of these things, then whatever you've got in your mind and in your heart does not need to pass through your tongue. Amen? You with me? So if it doesn't pass this test, then it's fleshly. And you know what I often have to do? Take my flesh and kill it every single day. Paul said it this way, I die daily. See? I die daily. If it's of the flesh, it needs to die. Just let it go. Amen? Just let it go. I was telling somebody a story earlier this week. Abraham Lincoln had a problem with George McClellan. His general had made a bad call and costed him a lot of territory during the war and just was making a lot of bad decisions. And he wrote a letter to McClellan and he said, "You are the most incompetent general I've ever hired. You can't make a decision. I wouldn't put you in charge of a kitchen detail." And the man he was telling this to said, "Oh, what did General McClellan say?" Abraham Lincoln said, "I don't know. I never sent it. I never sent the letter." When Abraham Lincoln died, they were going through his office and his things, and they found a whole desk full of letters that he had never sent. You know what? Sometimes I think we need to do that. Sometimes I think we need to just step back at the things we're saying, look at them for what they are, and just say, it's really not necessary. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word that gives us instruction. Thank you for the truths that we find within. Maybe there's some of us here today who have recognized the power of our tongue and that it does have power. Maybe we've recognized today that there is power in it that is drawing us into storms. There's power that is leading us to the past. There is power that is destroying relationships and friendships and fellowships. God, there's power in it because it reveals who we are inside. Maybe some of us here today have recognized that power. Maybe we want to bring that to you and say, God created me a new heart. I know there's something rotten about my words and my conversation, and I want to give that to you. Father, we thank you for meeting with us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.